Thank you, Holy Spirit. Just thank you, your presence is in us. It's just here right now. We just thank you for your presence. Without your presence, we don't have anything. We just thank you for being here tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen. I was going to say you can be seated, but you're already seated. Got lost a little bit there. Amen. It's a good thing just to be in the presence of God. You know, that's one of the things that we have to, that we can enjoy, not just corporately tonight, but we can enjoy that individually, you know, at our home or wherever we might be. You know, I've said it before about practicing the presence of God, and he manifests himself to us in so many different ways. But it's good just to be in his presence, you know. And someone asked me, well, how do you know that he's there? I said, well, all I know is that it's complete peace around me. And Amen. And when I'm in his presence, it's impossible to be depressed in the presence of God. And it's impossible to not be in joy when you're in his presence. It's just because it's just who he is. Amen. Amen. I'm ringing just a little bit. You can come down a little bit. There we go. Thanks. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a disciple and is of one who is taught, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He wakens me morning by morning. He wakens my ear to hear as a disciple, as one who is taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I've not been rebellious or turned backward. Father, we just thank you once again for your presence in this place. I ask you to use this vessel whichever way you see fit. Lord, just reach out. You know each and every desire and each and every need in this place tonight. And I just thank you that you're here to meet those. So, Father, we just yield to you right now. We just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your power. We thank you for a demonstration, once again, of your love in this place. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you've got your Bibles with you, turn over to Isaiah 60. And I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, I run into atheists. Do you ever run into an atheist?
Yeah.
And one of their arguments is, well, if there's a God, why does he allow so much suffering in the world? Why does he allow all these things that happen in the world? And the best way to answer that is, you're asking the wrong question. You should be asking him, does he understand the sufferings in the world? And he does. He became part of the sufferings when he died on the cross. And you need to know that because, see, Jesus, what he provided just for us is not just eternal life, but he's provided an abundant life for us because we can spend time in his presence and we can be changed. And that's the thing that you see in the scriptures. It talks about people just have a form of godliness. And you have a lot of different places they worship God, but they have a form of God, but they deny the power that changes people. And it's really important that you understand that you're being changed and transformed into his likeness. And he's constantly doing that with us. It's a process that just keeps going on and on. And on, you know, you go from test to test, you go from trial to trial, but in the whole entire time, he's constantly changing you into his image. And in that process, you're giving off what I call, you know, we call the anointing or divine light or whatever however you want to describe it. But you are the light of the world. And so in this scripture, you read here, it says, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to new life. Shine and be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. I like that. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine with the radiant and with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. See, one of the things about your experience with Jesus and your time in the presence of God is what you don't realize or may realize is that reflected glory is not just changing you, it's causing you to rise up from your circumstances. And one of the things as you're in ministry, as you go out, you're going to find a lot of people that are right now, they're just completely weighed down in their circumstances of this world. I mean, they're just broken. There's so many people out there, you come across them every week, and you are being sent into their lives to give them hope. Because the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. When you begin to understand that and take that in as reality, it changes the way you approach people. See, you're carrying that presence, you're carrying that glory, that changed not just you, but has the ability to change them. And knowing they're never going to be the same again. Not because you're such a great minister or like that, because the glory of the Lord is shining out of you.
Amen.
And you can't fake that. That's not fakeable. So a lot of people have a good talk and they've got a lot of words, but the glory of the Lord is not faked. It's something you know when somebody has spent time in the presence of God, because they're just changed. They're different. They're peculiar. They're odd. And some of you started to realize that, you know, I've been odd all my life. Well, that's good. That's a good thing. You're a peculiar people, a chosen race. Amen. You're not normal. I used to have that discussion with my athletes all the time, and they wanted to be the best in the world. I said, just know this, you're not normal. It's not normal to want to be the best in the world. And they said, as I revelation to him, they had, oh, well, now this all makes sense. That's why I never fit in. So it's not, you're not normal, because the glory of God is on you. You have something so deeply planted within you. Your life is hidden in Christ. It's so deep within your very being that you want to desire what that is. How do I find that out? How does that come out? I don't know if you've experienced when you're praying, it's like there's something just down there. I know there's more than I've been experiencing. And you're seeking that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and violent men, what? Take it by force. It's that the word there in the Greek is to press in. Be aggressive. God likes that. It's impossible to please him without faith. He likes it when you want to get into his face like we were singing. David said that. He said about seeking the face of God instead of the hand. We're always seeking the hand of God, but we have to seek his face. And where would we see his face? If you want to seek the face of God, if I wanted to go and find a great football player, I probably wouldn't go to Clemson right now. I probably would go down to Carolina. But where would I find Jesus? He's in the faces of the people who you're called to minister to. Those works prepared by the foundation world. Before the world was ever created, he put people in your path. And that's his face. When you seek the face of God, you're seeking people who are in need. What did he say? I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in need and you met my needs. That's the face of Jesus. And so don't think, it doesn't matter what your condition in life is right now. If you've got him inside of you, you've got something that is more than capable of bringing deliverance in somebody else's life. And be obedient to that mission. Remember what I've been teaching you. The authority is in the mission. People want to have authority in God, but they're not in their missions. They just, it's like they think it's convenient just to turn on the power just like that. It's not like that. If you're sent out and you're in your mission and you're doing the job, believe me, the authority will be there. And anything that the enemy has done to anybody, you have the ability to be able to overcome that by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus. You make that declaration. So I like this scripture a lot. Arise, from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Is there a circumstance in your life right now that you need to arise from? How are you going to rise up from it? That's a good question, because you know I can rise up for something in my humanity, in my human finite wisdom, and I can maybe successfully for a period of time hold out in my mind and say I'm happy. But the thing is that the power of God, when it rises in you and rises you up from the circumstances, the perception that you have is no longer an earthly perception. You're seeing things as He sees them. There's no way you can be defeated in this life. You are eternal. Your eternity is today. When you got born again, you're going to be forever. So you can never lose, really. And you have to come to that conclusion. God says, I work all things together for the good for those who what? Love Him. So you have to come back to that relationship. Do you really love Him? When you love somebody, you just want to be around them all the time. There's nothing better than to be in love, right? We know how it is in the finite human sense. Remember when you first started dating that person that you loved and wanted to be around them all the time, and you know, you put on your best behavior, you know, you came off like you were perfect, but you know you weren't, you know. I mean, you just did it all, right? Well, in a sense, that's how we have to do it for the Lord, you know. We love Him and really give ourselves up for Him, to spend time with Him, and we change our behavior for Him. Because that's what the trial does. When you're under the trial, these things that are, these character flaws are with all of us, start to surface up. And they become evident because they were blind spots before. But the trial always brings those idiosyncrasies to the top that we might see them. Because the scriptures talk about vessels, that whoever cleanses himself from these things shall become a vessel of honor. You know, I really got into the power of God and all that stuff, but when it came to this character thing, I didn't realize that God was really after something in my life, that I was interested maybe slightly, but I didn't realize how important it was until the trials came. Verse 2 says, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and dense darkness all the peoples, but the Lord shall arise upon you, and His glory shall be seen on you. Behold, darkness shall cover the earth in a dense darkness all the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory shall be seen on you." Now, people in Scripture, and they look at it and they interpret that as Jerusalem, and that's fine. You can call it Jerusalem, but this is also true for the individual believer. Did Stephen not have the face of an angel before he was stoned? They were looking at him, and the Sanhedrin, those that were opposing him, were looking at him and said, he has a face of an angel. When you study that out, that word there is, I'm going to say this right, prosopon. That's some impressive Greek there. And that's countenance. So when they looked at him, his countenance shone, the glory of God was on that guy. And he was just serving, all he was doing is serving tables. He wasn't this big time preacher, although he preached a good message there. In fact, it said that his wisdom was so coming straight from heaven, and he's speaking out, that no one could contend with him. They had to kill him to shut him up. And then as they're stoning him, he sits there and says, "Oh, I see Jesus at the right hand of God," which Mary infuriated him. And on top of that, he goes, "Father, don't hold it against them." I mean, can you be hitting by rocks and actually say that? I don't think I'm there yet. You throw a rock at me, I'll probably throw one back. But now that I preach this, I don't think I can. Thank you. Can I have another one? You miss. You want to go here. Just lean into it. "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth." I had a very real lesson about this years ago before I'm in Harbison, before all the shopping, all the restaurants, all that stuff was built, way before it was ever there. I lived in these Wellspring apartments. It's right off of Harbison Boulevard there. And I used to go back in the woods there, and I would always go back and pray. And I liked doing that, you know. And so I decided I'd go back, and I'm just praying. And I'm just saying, you know, Lord, I said, you know what the end times are. I just feel like we're in the end times. Tell me what's going to happen. I really want to just hear it straight from the horse's mouth. I mean, this is what I'm praying. And so I went back in the woods, and it got dark, and it was a little bit darker than this, and there wasn't a moon out or night or whatever, but it was pretty dark. And instead of coming back the way I came in, I get confused. And so instead of going back to my apartments, I'm paralleling the apartments. I'm going deeper into the woods. And after a little while, I mean, it's about maybe 10 or 15 minutes, I just started, God, I don't know where I'm at. What is going on here? And I started to panic because my mother-in-law was coming for dinner. I know I needed to be back. And that made me really nervous because now I'm late. And so I started to panic. So I started picking up. I'm getting hit with these bushes. I stepped in some kind of little creek or whatever and mud up to here. And I got in a sticker bush. And then I started laughing. I said, I'm a Boy Scout. I'm lost in these woods. I mean, I'm not even that far. Where in the world is my, where am I at? Where am I at? And I was starting to get panicky. And then finally I started walking. And I'm about where 26 started, I guess, but I'm almost at Broad River, and I'm getting close. And all of a sudden, I saw a house, and it's light. And I go, "Oh, there's light! Thank God!" And I started to hear these big dogs. I guess it's great. I'm out here, Lord, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm in prayer, and now I'm lost, and now I'm going to get bit by a dog, and I'm going through this in my brain, and so I came up the house. I didn't see the dogs, thank God. So I got back up. I'm on Broad River, and I started walking down, and then I saw Harbison Boulevard, and so I'm walking out, and I'm cut. I've got mud all over me. I look, people are passing you by. You know how it is, you know, and if you're in a situation like that where you just kind of look like you're homeless, you know, throw money at you out of the car. So get a honk. Anyway, so I'm sitting there going, what is going on? As I'm coming back, the Holy Spirit started to speak to me. He said, you wanted to know what's going to happen. It's what's going to happen. It's going to get dark. And people are going to begin to panic. And they're going to be looking for some light. And they're going to come to the light. And even the dogs of hell won't be able to keep them back from coming into my house. You see, you're the light, and whether you know it or not, if you can just receive this tonight, you are a bright light. The people that have seen the Lord said that it's like when you see the light in heaven, it's like a million suns, but it doesn't hurt your eyes. And that light is inside of us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And when you come into that reality, you realize that you are the contaminating influence wherever you go. You are carrying around a power that transforms people, that transforms you, that can change a person's life. And so when you approach that person with that understanding, revelation, and faith, it's activated, it's voice activated. And you can pray for people, and you can see results. You can have confidence because it's not you, it's Him. And if someone's in front of you and they've got an issue, whatever it might be, and as you've gone through the levels of discernment, you prayed for that individual and you maybe see what God's going to do, and then God empowers you to do something about it, you'll see the glory of God. Amen. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth and dense darkness all the peoples, but the Lord shall arise upon you and His glory shall be seen on you, and the nations shall come to your light and the kings to the brightness of your rising. So it speaks kind of in terms of prophet Isaiah seeing things afar off for sure, but he's talking about the brightness of your rising. And sometimes we compartmentalize that and throw that into the future. I say, no, the brightness of the rising of God is today inside of you. Amen. He's not at half power in you. He's at full power in you. And your soul is the switch. And you make a determination whether to turn it on or to turn it off. If you want to become more like him, you turn the soul on, like I shared you a couple weeks ago when David said, bless my soul. He commanded his soul to be blessed. That was his spirit, man, telling his soul to be blessed. The brightness of our rising. In Hebrews chapter 12, let's turn back there. It's page 1,441. No, sorry, 1,440. Bottom right. Verse 26, then at Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, but now he has given a promise, yet once more I will shake and make tremble not only the earth, but also the starry heavens. Now this expression, once more, indicates the final removal and transformation of all that can be shaken, that is, of that which has been created in order that what cannot be shaken may remain and continue. Let us therefore, receiving a kingdom that is firm and stable and cannot be shaken, offer to God pleasing service and acceptable worship with modesty and pious care and godly fear and awe, for our God is indeed a consuming fire. So this is what's going on in the earth. The shakings have already begun. And in case you hadn't noticed, you're being shaken too. And the things that can be shaken in you and me are being shaken. And we're becoming aware of it. But there's a part of us that cannot be shaken. And so the circumstances, and I would submit to you, your circumstances that are facing you, when you stand on the place where you cannot be shaken, and Jesus called it planting the foundation upon the rock, he also said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And so when you are in that area and you're in that arena, you cannot be shaken. You might have to deal with something, but you don't need to be shaken. But see, the world that doesn't know him, that doesn't have him, they're completely shaken to the very core because they have no hope. There is no absolute justice for someone that's an atheist. It's just too bad. They don't know. And you are sent into a world right now that is absolutely shaken, and you're not shaken. And guess what? What an advantage you have. Because that cannot be faked. It cannot be faked. People will know that God's inside of you because you don't, it's not that you're not aware of things, but you just aren't shaken. You take a trial as development. They could take a trial as panic and fear. You see, the spirit of fear is a doorway, and it is wide open into this world right now. It says, Jesus said himself, that men will faint because of fear of things that are coming on the world. And there's a thing called a TV that is broadcasting fear 24/7 right into our households. And we just like, yeah, well, whatever. And then wonder why we have, you know, issues. You see, this refinement that God is doing in the body of Christ right now is absolutely amazing to me. It's happening everywhere. I'm seeing people just so hungry for God that I've seen people just changed recently. It's like they just flipped. They've gone from heading this way, and all of a sudden, they just want God. And that's all they want. And that's all they need. And they're totally just so hungry. And they're so teachable. And it's great to come across people like that because then you remember, you know what, I want to be like that again. You remember when you first got the fire, you know, and the first got the you know, I was just sharing with somebody that was here that I was in a meeting years ago, 30-some years ago, and this prophet C.L. Moore ministered over me, you know, 30 years ago, and it's just now coming to pass. It's amazing. And I remember the excitement that there was being in the presence of God. And that's all being restored right now to the church. Those that are seeking Him and seeking His presence, He's showing up. And it's an awesome thing to stand in that presence because it changes you. So the shakings are occurring. In John chapter 1, I love this scripture. Just the way it's laid out. John chapter 1, start verse 1. It says, "In the beginning, before all time, was the Word of Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God Himself. He was present originally with God. All things were made and came into existence through Him, and without Him there was not even one thing made that has come into being. In Him was the life, and the life was the," what? "The light of men. And that light shines on in the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it," never overpowered it, "put it out or absorbed it or appropriated it, and is unreceptive to it." Verse 8, "He was not the light," speaking of John the Baptist, "He was not the light Himself, but He came that He might bear witness regarding the light. There it was, the true light, was coming then into the world, the genuine, the perfect, the steadfast light that illumines every person." You see it again. "He came into the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him and did not know Him. He came to that which belonged to Him, to His own domain, His creation, the things of the world, and they who were His own did not receive Him and did not welcome Him." Isn't that a shame? They had the scriptures, but they didn't even know God when He showed up. "But to as many He as did receive and welcome Him, He gave the authority, the power, the privilege, the right to become the children of God. That is, to those who believe in, adhere to, and trust in, and rely on His name. Who owe their birth neither to bloods, nor to the will of the flesh, nor to the will of man, but to God. And the Word became flesh, and tabernacled, fixed His tent of flesh, and lived among us. And we actually saw His glory, His honor, His majesty, such glory as the only begotten Son receives from His Father, full of grace and truth." Verse 18. "No man has ever seen God at any time, the only unique Son or the only begotten God, who is the bosom of the Father. He has declared Him, He has revealed Him and brought Him out where He can be seen. He has interpreted Him, and He has made Him known." In other words, Jesus explained the Father. See, people had this wrong picture of the Father. And the Jews and the different, you know, the denominations that the Jews had, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and all that. It sounds almost like today, the Methodists, the Baptists. I mean, it almost sounds just the same to me. You know, but Jesus explained the compassion of the Father, that God so loved the world, the Father so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And you think about that. I have a son. And I think about that. I think about Abraham, how Abraham was willing to sacrifice his own son. And so committed was he to sacrifice his son that the angel called to him twice, "Abraham, Abraham, don't do it. God will provide a sacrifice." And you think how God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. See, that's the wisdom of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. I mean, when you think about it, God came down in the flesh to not just identify with our sufferings, but to become part of our sufferings. So He knows what you're going through. And that's why He redeemed us and redeemed mankind. He just wants family. Yep. And we're going to be family. Look to your neighbor to the right and say, we're family. Now look at your second best choice to the other side and say, we're family. I mean, we're going to be together forever. I mean, that's what's so awesome about this. I love people. And it's so cool to know that we're going to just be around and doing all kinds of, who knows what we're going to do. I don't know. It's going to be awesome, though. I'll be 30 years again, old again. I mean, I know that everything's going to just work out great, you know. I don't think you have to work out in heaven. I think you just get it. You know what I mean? So, you know, just think about that. You don't have to maintenance your body like you have to do here. And we have to take care of it, you know, because it's not ours. That's another big lesson. This isn't ours. So stop tattooing it. The lightning's going to hit somebody here. Anyway. But seriously, just know that he has explained the Father. So to know the will of God is so important because people don't know who he is. They have some kind of an idea, they have problems with sin, and because they're sinners, they don't want to get to know him because they don't think that he'll forgive them, I guess. I really don't know. I mean, because I don't really know any Christians who don't sin. I've never met one. I'd like to meet one day, and I think it's going to be Jesus because I don't think there's one that I've ever met. I mean, you know, I take my prophetic eye. I can pick some stuff up real quick on people. I don't go around doing that. You know I don't. You know, I mean, I'll be sitting there I just don't do that. Unless God wants me to, but I'm afraid, you know, because I got my own issues, you know. Nobody wants to sit there and flash our sins out in front of everybody, but we're all sinners. We're all saved by grace. We're all on the same level, you know, and we may have different positions and different things that we do, but without his grace, man, we ain't making anything. So you can't earn it. Doesn't mean you don't try to be good, though, by the way, okay? I'm not giving everybody a license out here just to do whatever you want. That's not it at all. Because when you come into his presence, you want to be like him. You know, I mean, I had a lot of respect for my father. He was a great coach, and, you know, he coached me, and he started a football league in the area that we lived in. He was just a good coach. And, you know, I admired that, you know. And so I think we need to admire our Father in heaven, you know. Admire Jesus and want to become like him. And that's why it's so important to find out everything we can about him in our relationship through the Word, but also in our relationship to spending time. To spending time with him. Take walks. Walks are good. That's the best times of my life, just walking with the Lord. I love it. He's always kind. Always kind. Always shows me something. Always encouraging. And I can't manipulate him. I've tried. You know, you're crying, you know, and he goes, you done yet? I'm just alone. Just alone. Yeah, it's just you and the Almighty. Well, you ruin this. You know, you're ruining the moment, you know. I mean, you know, he comes in waves that just establishes you, and you know, he takes away the sorrow, he takes away the pain, he takes away all the stuff that we deal with on a daily basis here. We don't have to revel in that stuff because he wants to rise us up to a higher place. Amen. Matthew chapter 4, verse 14. It says, "You are the light of the world." This is Jesus talking. Matthew 5, verse 14. Matthew 5, verse 14. "You are the light of the world." He's saying that to us. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do men light a lamp and put it under a peck measure, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify" who? Your Father in heaven. See, a true, to me, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, a true gift, it always It always is accompanied with the fruit of the Holy Spirit to me. But it always, the person always gives, it directs them straight to him. It doesn't direct him to the person that's delivering the gift. And this has been so messed up in the church where people have been seeking after people, thinking as if they're the ones. No, they're just delivery boys and girls. It's the giver of the gift. He's the one that is glorified. So when this, your light shines, it always brings people to him. Because a lot of times you'll find that you're ministering to people that have the same kind of problems that you've got, but they notice that you're able to handle it and they can't, and they want to know how you're doing it, and they say, and that draws them to him. It doesn't draw them necessarily to you, but it does point out what's inside of you, because it cannot be faked. You're authentic. You're real. You know, these religious gymnastics that people get into all the time, you know, all the guys that are the TV ministers, you know, they adopt the positions to, you know, because you can't heal unless you're doing this. You know, if you get the hand up, you make the connection, and now you're healed. You know, or they're doing this stuff. I mean, I'm just telling you, saints, don't get caught up in false signs and wonders. I mean, it was the most embarrassing thing. I was in a meeting, and a guy goes like this, and everybody's down, and I'm the only one standing. I'm like, you'd leave me out? You know, why aren't you knocking me out? Do you really want God to knock you out?
No.
I mean, everybody that to me had an experience, they did this, and there wasn't anybody to catch them. When they came to get Jesus, when he said, I am, 1,000 went down. But they were coming to get him. I'm just trying to create some balance. I'm not saying it's not that God doesn't, you know, there isn't the power of God or people don't go down. I'm not saying that. I'm just telling you to don't do courtesy falls. You know? I've had people try to push me down, and I know I'm ready for them because they're coming, so I'm like this. And they start doing that number, and then I get, don't be rebellious. Come out of them, devil. And I'm like, come on. God, dude, and I just do a courtesy fall, just to get them to stop. And you wonder why people think we're crazy. So there is the real thing. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I've seen it. I've seen it recently, but I didn't even touch a person. I had a 300-pound dude up in Whitmire one time. He was sitting sitting right here, and I wouldn't even pray for the guy. I don't remember. I just said something. All of a sudden, he wipes out a whole section. It was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. I didn't do anything, and he wasn't hurt. But God did something to him. But that was, you know, I didn't do it. You know, let the Holy Spirit move. He knows how. I mean, if Jesus, the anointing without measure. I mean, you would have thought the woman with the issue of blood pressed through and just touch him, you thought she'd pop. But no, she didn't. She just was healed. He didn't go knocking anybody down that I know of. I'm just telling you. There's false prophets out there, guys. And they have big ministries, and they're monsters. You got to feed that monster. If you send me $100, I can get you some oil from Jerusalem. Do you know I have some in my pocket? She does too. It's not from Jerusalem. It might be Costco oil. I don't know. But I got some. So I'll just put it right here for later. We pray for you. You're going to get it from here. Amen.
She used to use spray Pam.
Now, okay, well, you know what? Just bring a can next time. We'll see how many customers I get. But you know, I think God gets a big kick out of that. You know, it says anoint with oil. I mean, my goodness, you're just obeying the word, right?
You're still oily.
Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I think it's verse 16 through 18. This is another good one. But whenever a person turns in repentance to the Lord, the veil is stripped off and taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? There is liberty, emancipation from bondage and freedom. And all of us, as an unveiled face, because we continue to behold him in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own what? Image. An ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. That is the process. From glory to glory. From level to level. You know, in my profession in diving, we had the 1 meter, the 3 meter, the 10 meter, and then the nutso people went up higher, you know, the 80 feet, the 100 and some feet or whatever. But, you know, you always had to start out somewhere, and you had to master, you know, that level before you went up to the next level, because if you got up there too early, you know, wipe out. But, you know, you think about it, you know, you should be at a different level today than you were at a year ago or 5 years ago. You know, and a lot of it's just the knowledge. But the thing is that the level of glory is in the level of the relationship that you have. You know, when you get to the place where you just got, I have to spend time with him. I have to. You know, I have to get that time. That's my secret place, like David talked. He who dwells, doesn't say he who visits, or he who sometimes comes, but he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God, he who dwells. This is a dwelling. Where is your dwelling? Where is my dwelling? Where am I dwelling at? You know, I know a lot about where my mind dwells sometimes. And that's another thing the scripture tells us, that we should, you know, take every thought captive and focus and meditate on his word day and night. See, all the information is laid out in the word of God for us. And if we do it, then we have these transitions going from glory to glory. And the reason why I'm excited about that, because I know at least with the group that I'm seeing coming in here, people are serious. They're coming in and they're going out and doing stuff. And I hear about, you know, healings and different things that are happening. And that's encouraging, because that's what it's all about. The problem with the church is that it'd be like me trying to talk. I dive in front of people. I talk about diving, but they never get to actually dive. I never tell them to go out and dive. Just watch me do it. You know, but it is out there, folks. It is the church without walls. Right now, we've got to start reaching out to people around us, because they're hurting. And God will always bring you around somebody that really needs a touch. And get excited about that. But when you see that individual, just first start out in prayer, man. Just pray for him. And then God will open up the door over a period of time. And if he doesn't, then just intercede for him. But be on the job. And man, that glory is going to start to shine through you. Years ago, I've shared this here before. I was I was working for these Mormons, and it was interesting to have me in a Mormon place, you know, because I was young and dumb, and you know, I was real on fire for God, and you know, I wanted to share them, and I knew they had a weird bit religion there, and so I'm trying to help them out or whatever. But but I was out there. What they did is it was a shop that sold pool supplies, and they built pools, and they sold these whirlpools, and so they had them at a mall, and I had to go out there and demo it, so I did, and people come by, I turn it on, and try to sell a whirlpool, and this woman comes up to me, and she goes, just what is it? I go, it's a whirlpool, and I turn it on, and I start touching, no, what is that on you? And I'm thinking I had something on my face or something. She goes, no, what is that light on you? What is that glory on you? So all this, she started talking to me like that, and I was like, I don't know what I thought this woman's crazy. And then I started to realize, and then the Holy Spirit just dawned on me. So I said, well, that's the Holy Spirit. And so I started to talk to her about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so, you know, she was really excited. And so I sat there and talked for a while, and then she left. Well, the next day she came, and my boss is there. And he's a Mormon, you know. And she goes, where is that guy? Where is that holy guy? I was talking to me about the Holy Spirit, and he got mad at me and thought I was out there handing out tracts. Yeah, it was. And the bad thing about that is that there was a woman. She was a Methodist, and she came to the place because we had a pool there, and there was a whirlpool there, and she was getting therapy. And I was talking to her. I was saying, you know, God can heal you. And I said, we're doing a home meeting. Love to invite you. And she was all excited. And then she went and told her daughter, and her daughter got upset that somebody was trying to pray for her healing, and she calls up my boss. And so the next day I come in, and they fire me. And they go, we can't have you doing that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is terrible. I really needed a job. But, you know, I said, okay, whatever. And I wasn't mad. I said, thank you for the job and so forth. And I walked out. And as I walked out, I just had this thought. I didn't even know what it meant. So wipe the dust from under your feet. I didn't know what that meant. I had no idea. I just remember hearing that. But I remember reading the paper how their business had went belly up. And then they actually, what they did is they bulldozed this land and they built a church over it. I mean, you can't make that up.
Wow.
And it's right over there near the VA hospital, over in that area. I think it's Leesburg Road or something out there. It's out in that area. And so just know this, that, you know, there's evidence that God is inside of you and people pick up on it. And you know, when you, I don't know, do you ever go in the store and you just, you know, I go in the store all the time and I just like, I was carrying the presence of God around. I got a little smile on my face, a little smirk, you know, and just, I just like to see this if people are affected by it, you know, and they are.
They are.
They are. You know, some of them get on the other end of the aisle, you know, but it doesn't matter, you know, but then all of a sudden I'll come up and I'll just talk to somebody. I'll have a word for them and I just come up to them and just give them the word. And they're very thankful because, you know, most of the time, it's absolutely right. But if you just take a little step, you'll find that this power, this glory, will be released. And you don't have to go and testify of every little thing that happens. Jesus himself did some traumatic miracles and told them, do not tell anybody. And they did, and then he couldn't public enter a city anymore. So I don't think we're going to have that problem, but if you do, it's okay. One more. No, that was the last scripture I had. It's the last one. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Praise the Lord. I just want to give you a word of encouragement, Peter. You know, I told you earlier that I've never met a Peter that I didn't love. Amen. I mean, because just, I don't know, it's something about people, they get that name. They're servants. And I see God has really developed a servant heart in you. And I see it's like you're trying to find your niche. You know, as I shared earlier, your life is hidden in Christ Jesus. And you're really trying to find your niche. And I believe that this is going to be a year where the identity of God and your ministry is going to come in complete focus. Right now, it's kind of like a Polaroid picture. You can't quite make it out. You know kind of about some things, how I move this way. But it's going to come in complete focus for you. And you're going to see a restoration through your family as a result of you going for God. I mean, literally, because of the change that's going to occur inside of you. It's like there's a wisdom beyond your years that you function and flow in, and you're hesitant to release that wisdom. God says, begin to release it, because your mind is going to be illuminated. You're going to get thoughts that you're going to want to speak, and you're going to know that came from the Lord because it didn't come for you. But God says, just release them, because your words of wisdom will really help a person out. There's a counselor inside of you that God's going to use you in counsel many times. And you'll find where people are in severe problems, this and that, and you're going to give a word of peace, a word of release, a word of strength. And it's going to hit directly to those people, and it's going to set them free time and time again. You know, there's a big sword in your hand, and you're not aware of it just yet, Because God said, I must place first wisdom in you before I allow you to use it. But you've got a huge sword, brother, and you have a deliverance ministry. Time and time again, the enemy is going to flee. He's going to flee before you even get there, because you're going to know exactly how to use that. Because you're an intercessor. I see you're the river that runs inside of you, brother, is deep. You know, we talk about, you know, how they take our prayer walks and stuff like that. You're isolated in a way. It's not that you don't have friends or relationship, but you're also isolated. There's a loneliness inside of you, a godly loneliness. And so I just want to encourage you in that. That walk, that voice that you hear has been developed over a period of years because your rivers run real deep, brother. So I just want to encourage you in Jesus' name. Amen. God's so good. Thank you, Jesus. Does that mean something to you? Yes, I thought so. Amen. God is so good. There's somebody else in here. I don't know who that is. I seem to pay. I think I pick on you every time you come in here. Don't. Amen. I just want to give you a word of encouragement. I just want you to know that I just think that, you know, you're beginning to see the fruit of a direction that you're taking, you know, and it's like a release. There's a liberty. And it's like you're going to be able to run again, you know, and you're just about out of it. You know, it's like the weeds, you know, and you know, we get in the weeds in life. You're just about out where you can really just run. So just be careful. Remember what the word says, endure until what? Endure till the end. Until the end. But there is an end. And so you just need to be encouraged. And then you'll get into the next part. All right. So just be encouraged. God, it really has you in a good spot. And he hears your voice. You know, there's something about the way that you're really touching the heart of God right now, because you're willing to change. You know, sometimes, you know, God will resist the proud and give grace to the humble. And you, for whatever, God hasn't shown me specifics that you're going through, but I just, like, for whatever it is, it's really caused you to really just to humble yourself before the Lord. And just, it's just like a brokenness. And it's really, it's not crushed you. It's actually freed you. You just don't know it yet. So just be encouraged, okay? You're coming back to the end of that one. There's something else down the line, but God says, I will restore, but I will restore in my time. Amen? Because it's not one of those things, God, I want it now, you know? And I can't, you know, I want it now, but you know that you're in the process. You do know that. And so just allow that to take its full course, okay? Because after you go through the full course, you will receive what was promised. Because the Lord says, don't fling your confidence away, which what has great reward. For after you've done the will of God, you will receive what was promised. Amen. God is so good. Thank you. I'll try not to do that next time you come. Amen. My brother here, I give you a word of encouragement too. You know, it's like I see you running, there's a wall there, bam. It's just like you get knocked back. But you get back up and you hit it again. And you hit it again. And out of your persistence, you'll break through. You know, it says in the scriptures that David said that the anointing of the breakthrough was like the breaking forth of waters. And the breaking forth of waters, you think about the picture of that, because he says, God has broken forth upon my enemies by my hand, as the breaking forth of waters. And the waters are something that are being built up right now in your life, because you're seeking God in a fierce way. If you really check it out, more than ever, there's a sold out inside of you. I'm going to be sell out. I want to change. I'm done with this. I'm going to go for it. And I just see you just running for it. Okay. But as in that process, what you don't realize is you're being tanked up. You're getting full. I mean, you're going from teaching to this to that, and all that stuff that's inside of you is just sitting there, and it's building up. But God's going to, it's by voice command, but I just see you really speaking to the mountain, and boom, now all that water just comes out, and you have the breakthrough that you're seeking. And the thing about it is, the breakthrough will give you the perception that you seek, because you just want understanding. But the understanding is on the other side of this wall. You know, he could have taken Israel and moved them right into the promised land, but they wouldn't have learned warfare. And for whatever reason, what you're involved in right now is a warfare. And just know this, God has created, you know, he led the Israelites to the waters of Marah. He knew that those waters weren't drinkable. But why did he lead them there? He led them there, he said that he tested them there, he proved them there. And what did he do? It's like in every trial. The trial, there is solutions in your trial. But the purpose of God is that he would reveal himself to you in a new way. And we all have those experiences. You know, to know God as the healer, to know God as the provider, to know God as the one that, you know, he said to me one day, he said, you know, you can't know me without knowing betrayal. And I went through betrayals. And it changed me when he said that to me, because, man, I didn't, wow. And I identified with his sufferings. I identified with the fact that he was betrayed. And so just be encouraged. God has you in the perfect spot. You are in the perfect will of God. You may not think you are, but he has you right where he has you. Amen? Does that mean something to you? Praise the Lord. God is so good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Somebody else, I don't know. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I just keep hearing, try again. You know, it's like you start a fire and it lights for a little while and it goes out. And you light another fire, maybe this fire will catch, and it lights for another and it goes out. And it's like, Lord, you know, can I just get one fire started that just starts, you know? And that doesn't keep going out on me. But the thing about it is you keep trying, you keep hanging in there. I would submit to you that your test is exactly that. Out of persistence, out of the one that knocks on the door for the bread, for the friend. And God opens that door. So just know this, that your ministry is for others. So when you seek the Lord and you pound on the door, you pound on the door for the others. You don't know their names. You haven't seen them yet. You don't know them yet. And yet God will show you their condition before you even saw them, before you even know them. Because he prepared that way before the planet was ever put into operation, before he created it. So when you pound on the door, but you pound the door with the word of knowledge that gives you the ability to understand, I've got to have this for these that are here because I love them and I care for them. And you take the position of the intercessor, one who stands in the gap. And that God has given you complete clarity now. And so now you understand why the fires are going out. But the next fire you start is going to stay up. And it's going to catch fire. And God says, I would submit to you, it's going to be a bonfire. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Don't worry, Jessica, I'm not going to prophesy over you here. I hope he doesn't prophesy over me. I don't know if you were thinking that, but I'll get you later. Amen. God is so good. You know, you guys are such a blessing. You really are. You just work as a team. You must be married. Amen. Amen. Just how did you get to that place where you just flow like a team? It didn't happen overnight, but that's exactly how you move. And the thing about it is, if two or more agree as touching anything, it is done by him. And so you're really, the things you've confronted have, I don't know what it is, your circumstances, but it's forced you guys together in even a greater measure than ever before in your life. And that prayer of agreement is a powerful prayer. And I know you know that, but don't underestimate it because it is effective. And God is moving on prayers that you've said even recently together. He's going to do it. He's going to perform it. Why? Because he watches over his word to perform it. And you're laying out his word. I even see you taking scriptures strategically, throwing scriptures out in your prayer. How dare you do that? The enemy doesn't like that at all. And that's how Jesus took out Satan. It is written, it is written, it is written. He just couldn't handle it anymore. He's getting slapped upside the head. Just keep on doing that. God's really using you guys. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When, how come, why, and when? When, how come, why, and when? Amen. As I hear those words just keep coming up in my spirit. When? Why has this happened? And, you know, when? You know, and the thing is, the Lord is still king at the end of the day. And you still know that. And you say, you know what? You know, can't use the word sucks in church, but I will. You know, yeah, it does, okay? But Jesus. And he is able to sustain you in this wilderness. You know, he's not going to allow you to take a wilderness mentality. Because that's what the enemy's trying to do. Because, you know, it's like Job. Let's face it. Job, after a while, he got to the place, what I have feared has come upon me. Well, why was he fearing? Because he was, you know, all this stuff started happening around him. And the last thing that Satan was after was his mind, to create some negative expectation. You know? And that's how the enemy is trying, but he has been found out. I cancel that assignment over your life in the name of Jesus Christ. And you're set free tonight, okay? So Jesus is now Lord and King of that situation. He is in your boat. And when he said to his disciples, let you and me go over to the other side, it didn't matter what came up to him because it was the word of God, and then we're going to go to the other side, even if he had to go over the side like a submarine.
On the way here, I kept hearing, I want to be free.
Hallelujah. Amen. I'm just a delivery boy. See, he heard you, and he brought me from Cincinnati down here in 1982 to talk to you.
Amen.
So I don't know where he brought you from, but he brought you from somewhere, and there's somebody else that you're going to deliver word to.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Mm-hmm. But you have a healing ministry, you know. You've seen God heal people. So you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, it's not up to me to heal him. I mean, I just lay the hands. You know, come up and just lay the hands because I don't want her leg to hurt anymore. And I'm just going to keep doing it. And until I see her moving the flag around, I saw her this Sunday doing it. I said, man, I wonder if she looks like she's fine. Then I saw that cane again. I said, I don't know if I like that cane, but she can use it, okay, but I just want her to be healed. You see what I'm saying?
Amen.
So I'm going to stand for her regardless. I don't care if it takes a week. There's one sister here, where is she? She's not using her oxygen anymore. Where are you?
Joni.
Oh, Joni, right here. Amen. Well, we put her up here and we got everybody up and we prayed around her and it didn't happen right away, but it happened.
That's right.
Amen. That's the Lord that did that.
Right.
So you got a healing ministry. You do.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, you're more important than you know you are. God really wants to change some things here. He wants you to start to see yourself as he sees you. You know, one of the things I liked about being a coach is that somebody would come into my pool and God would show me where they were going to be. And so I couldn't see them any other way. Even though there were problems or things that had to be weeded out, it didn't matter because I was just like a sculptor. I was going to get them to this image that I see. Well, that's how he sees you. He is conforming you into his image, so he can't see anything else. And so what he does is he begins to shape you into that over a period of time until, you know, you surrender. And see, the reason why we surrender to him, because you know it says that he always leads us in triumph. And those of you that got my little video, you get that Roman procession where, you know, that's the general that was leading the procession and all the prisoners are behind. Well, he captured you. He captured you. He chose you. You didn't choose him, and he chose you, and you are in that procession. And he conquered you with his love. And it's just like, you know, I just surrender, Lord. You know, I love it when I get to that point where I'm broken and I cry and he just comes and just loves me. You know? And so I had an experience like that recently, and I'm going to be quiet here. And I think I shared it I shared it here. You know, I was, before I went for South Africa, God said, don't be concerned about anything. And I wasn't. You know, I went through identity theft. You know, they tried to get into my IRS. They got into everything. Took $30,000 out of my retirement. Just all kinds of crazy stuff. And bother me. I knew God was going to be okay.
That's right.
You know, Didn't get a paycheck for a couple months. That's okay. I'm doing good. But John's baseball game. We were meeting some people out on the lake. And Kara can be late. She's good at that. But Todd is not. Todd is always concerned about other people. So, you know, we're making those people wait. And she goes, I'm going to get pizza from Costco. And I go, you're okay, that's going to take forever. Just get pizza at Caesar's on the way up. And she goes, I need a new top for my bathing suit, too. And I'm like, are you crazy? You know, here I'm not supposed to be concerned about anything. And I want to rip her head off over pizza. And I had to apologize to her publicly, and I did. But the day before I left for, I don't think I told you this. The day before I left for South Africa, she calls me up. She goes, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, I'm waiting for it because, you know, you're leaving for a mission, you know, the man of God, you know, a big mission and all that stuff, you know, and enemy always tries to get me some kind of strife. So I need to talk to you. I go, oh, that doesn't sound good, but I didn't done anything. You know, I apologize for that, you know, and she comes walking in, she goes, where do you want to talk? That really got me. That was the one, that was where I was just, no, I've done something I don't even know about. And I'm going, I'm talking to the Holy Spirit, and he's not talking back to me. And I'm like, what have I done? I go, I know what to do. No matter what, I will just crucify myself here in this, whatever's going to happen. And I go, well, let's go out on the porch. And she brings it up again. You got an anger issue. And I'm real good. You know, you can say something to me 12 times, but when you get to the 13th, the 14th, the 15th time, I crack. So I got to 14. I didn't quite get to 15. And please, I'm so sorry, please. You know, and finally, and she goes, are we done? And I go, yeah. She goes, we're done. I go, thank God, I'm done. So I just went on a walk. And I walked. I was about a mile into it, at least. And I just cracked. I just broke. I said, Laura, I can't handle it. I mean, you tell me not to be concerned, and I lost it over pizza, and I just broke before him, and he just came down and just loved on me. That's all he wanted. And the next day, I was like the best husband in the world. She's had amnesia. It's like, and I'm thinking, God, the Holy Spirit, did you do that? Did you actually go in her brain, and you made her do that to me? I mean, I'm thinking this, because, I mean, the next day, it was like nothing. I wish she was here tonight. Maybe. Maybe. God's so good. Okay, you got something real quick? Come on. Yeah, come up with something real quick, and we're gonna go into some ministry here. We're gonna dismiss everybody, but we need some prayer here. Some people need prayer. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
I won't be too long, okay?
That's okay.
Yep. I just wanted to share something with you. I received something on my heart, so y'all can just bear with me for like 2 minutes, I promise, okay? So I probably this came to me more of a vision, and I just saw something, and I wrote this down so I didn't forget it. The Lord is prepared for battle. He has his sword and armor ready. He rides in chariots you've never seen before, with splendor and glory around him. He has a reduced army compared to the enemy, but that doesn't mean anything. He is already ahead of them, like a stampede, and he's attacked them at the shin. He's broke the enemy's back before, and they can turn he's broke the enemy's back before so that they could turn, and he will lay our foes to waste. Mm. He is spreading his glory everywhere, and wants you to know that your battle isn't lost. So what can't he win? He has your prize ready for you. And this just reminded me of the story of Gideon in Judges 7. The Lord said to Gideon, he says, you have too many men. He says, I need you to go ahead and take them to go back, right? And then he says, so 20,000 men left while 10,000 remained. And then jump down and says, while each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their own swords. And the last thing I was just looking at, Malachi 4. Says, but for those who revere my name, the Son of righteousness will rise with healing in its rays. and you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves. Yeah. So then you will trample on the wicked, and they will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act.
And that's all I wanted to share. Thank you, God.
Yeah. That's good. You know, so I think calves are fed a special diet to make them grow fast. And so you read that scripture that says that he'll, you know, he rises with healing in his beams, you know, and that's the glory of God. But it's like you could see the picture in the last days of him causing us to grow real fast. And that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing this. People getting converted and they're growing so fast. It's like revelations coming out of them in dreams and visions and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, and you kind of say, well, you know, you just got into this and you're moving like in all this stuff that took years to develop in my life, you know. But that's just what God's doing right now. He's just raising it up really quick. Amen.
That was that word I read 2 weeks ago that you gave January 11th, 2024, that there's a special diet that's going to accelerate.
Amen.
And he kept lifting that up to me, and that I made Rob glad to get that book.
Yeah, well, obviously you've been doing that, so you're... You guys,
especially, you know, yeah. What I see is instead of breadcrumbs being dropped so you can follow your path, these are spiritual, they're like spiritual breadcrumbs that we are actually eating, ingesting, and an acceleration of growth. And it's like revelation knowledge. That's the acceleration, it's the growth, and it's keeping us on our path. But it's accelerating.
Amen.
This knowledge. It's just, it's incredible.
It's incredible. Amen.
It's what's happening right now.
Amen. Just so you know that everything's recorded here, so if you need to get a tape or get a copy of the message or your prophecy or whatever, just remember the gathering of southcarolina.com. It's TGOSC.com. And Lewis will, when you got to give him some time to load it up, but it takes some time. Sometimes to get that done, so he's busy doing his bit. He's getting lots of business now, and yeah, he's just going to be getting lots more business, and maybe he'll tithe into my life. I don't know if God's told him that yet or not, but I'm thinking that might be the Lord. I don't know. Amen. I'll give you a special blessing. I got some oil up here for you too. You give the right gift, you get the real stuff. Amen. All right, let's stand to our feet. Lord, we just thank you for what you've done here tonight. And if you need any kind of ministry, just hang out and come up and we're going to pray for you. And if you feel led to pray with us, that's good. Just want to meet the needs that are in the room. Father, we just thank you for what you've done here tonight. We just tasted that it's really good to be here tonight, Lord, and what you've done. Lord, I ask that if anything been said of a man, that it be stricken from the record, but that which is of you, Lord, let it go deep within our hearts. Let it resonate, Lord. Let it continue to minister to us as a seed. And Lord, I ask that you'd send those to water those seeds, Lord God, that they may grow and become fruitful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
The Lord just told me it's a night to set the prisoners free.